Today's Streamglobe devotional is titled Quit Struggling, Cry Out for Help. Today's meditation was written by Dr. Emmanuel James. We shall be taking our Bible reading from Matthew 14 verses 30 to 31. Matthew 14 verses 30 to 31 reads, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" I have just read from the King James Version. As the disciples sailed across the sea, they saw Jesus walking on water. Amidst their fear, Jesus reassured them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Upon hearing this, Peter boldly asked to come to Jesus on the water, and Jesus bid him to come. Initially, Peter walked on the water as commanded, but when he saw the strong wind, fear and doubt crept in, causing him to sink. Yet, he didn't remain silent. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Likewise, you may encounter situations that cause your faith to falter, leading to doubt and sinking. How do you respond? Do you strive to improve your skills and knowledge, or do you rely on God's help? While it's commendable to persevere, it's futile to struggle alone when you have a helper by your side. Cry out to God for assistance. Remember, your faith doesn't have to be perfect to receive help. God's faith is available to all who call upon Him for aid. Prayer: identify your areas of struggle and ask God for help. Don't cease asking until you receive His assistance. Our yearly Bible reading plan shall be taken from Genesis 36 to 39. This Bible reading plan is continuous. So, if for example, you begin with us today, by this time next year, you will have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next. Genesis 36 to 39.
This is the account of the family line of Esau, that is Edom. Esau took his wives from the women of Canaan, Ada, daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Oholibamah, daughter of Anah, and granddaughter of Zibeon the Hivite. Also, Basemath, daughter of Ishmael, and sister of Nebaioth. Ada bore Eliphaz to Esau. Basemath bore Reuel, and Oholibamah bore Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These were the sons of Esau who were born to him in Canaan. Esau took his wives and sons and daughters and all the members of his household, as well as his livestock and all his other animals and all the goods he had acquired in Canaan, and moved to a land some distance from his brother Jacob. Their possessions were too great for them to remain together. The land where they were staying could not support them both because of their livestock. So Esau, that is Edom, settled in the hill country of Seir. This is the account of the family line of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in the hill country of Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, the son of Esau's wife Ada, and Reuel, the son of Esau's wife Basemath. The sons of Eliphaz: Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, and Kenaz. Esau's son Eliphaz also had a concubine named Timnah, who bore him Amalek. These were grandsons of Esau's wife Ada. The sons of Reuel: Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These were grandsons of Esau's wife Basemath. The sons of Esau's wife Oholibamah, daughter of Anah and granddaughter of Zibeon, whom she bore to Esau: Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These were the chiefs among Esau's descendants, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau. Chiefs: Teman, Omar, Zepho, Kenaz. Korah, Gatam, and Amalek, these were the chiefs descended from Eliphaz in Edom. They were grandsons of Ada. The sons of Esau's son, Reuel, chiefs Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These were the chiefs descended from Reuel in Edom. They were grandsons of Esau's wife, Basemath, the sons of Esau's wife Oholibamah, chiefs Jeush, Jalah, and Korah. These were the chiefs descended from Esau's wife Oholibamah, daughter of Anah. These were the sons of Esau, that is, Edom, and these were their chiefs. These were the sons of Seor the Horite, who were living in the region: Lotan, Shobal, Zibeah, Anah, Dishan, Ezer, and Dishan. These sons of Seor in Edom were Horite chiefs. The sons of Lotan: Hori and Homam. Timnah was Lotan's sister. The sons of Shobal: Alvan, Manuhat, Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. The sons of Zibeon: Ayah and Anah. This is the Anah who discovered the hot springs in the desert while he was grazing the donkeys of his father Zibeon. The children of Anah: Dishan and Oholibamah, daughter of Anah. The sons of Dishan: Hemdan, Eshbah, Ithran, and Keran. The sons of Ezer: Bilhan, Zeovan, and Akan. The sons of Dishan: Uz and Aran. These were the Horite chiefs: Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anah, Dishan, Ezer, and Dishan. These were the Horite chiefs according to their divisions in the land of Seor. These were the kings who reigned in Edom before any Israelite king reigned. Bela, son of Beor, became king of Edom. His city was named Dinhaba. When Bela died, Jobab, son of Zerah from Bozra, succeeded him as king. When Jobab died, Husham from the land of the Temanites succeeded him as king. When Husham died, Hadad, son of Bedad, who defeated Midian in the country of Moab, succeeded him as king. His city was named Avith. When Hadad died, Samla from Masrekah succeeded him as king. When Samla died, Shaul from Rehoboth on the river succeeded him as king. When Shaul died, Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, succeeded him as king. When Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, died, Hadad succeeded him as king. His city was named Pau, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mizahab. These were the chiefs descended from Esau, by name, according to their clans and regions: Timnah, Alvan, Jetheth, Oholibamah, Elah, Pinah, Kenaz, Teman, Mibzar, Magdiel, and Iram. These were the chiefs of Edom, according to their settlements in the land they occupied. This was Esau, the father of the Edomites. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them,
"Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it."
His brothers said to him,
"Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?"
And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers.
"Listen,"
he said,
"I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me."
When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said,
"What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?"
His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph,
As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them.
Very well,
he replied. So he said to him,
go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me.
Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him,
what are you looking for?
He replied,
I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?
They have moved on from here,
the man answered.
I heard them say, let's go to Dothan.
So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him.
Here comes that dreamer,
they said to each other.
Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him.
Then we'll see what comes of his dreams.
When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands.
Let's not take his life,
he said.
Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him.
Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers,
what will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood.
His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said,
the boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?
Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornamented robe back to their father and said,
we found this. Examine to see whether it is your son's robe.
He recognized it and said,
it is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces.
Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted.
No,
he said,
in mourning will I go down to the grave to my son.
So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said,
ooh, come to bed with me.
But he refused.
With me in charge,
he told her,
my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?
And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said,
"Come to bed with me."
But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants.
"Look, look, look!"
she said to them.
"This Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us, and he came in here to sleep with me. But I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house."
She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story.
"That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house."
When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, or give to this work, visit our website at streamglobe.org.